This episode is brought to you by Coca-Cola. New Coca-Cola Spiced. It's not spicy, but it does have unexpected, extraordinary tastes. For some people, it's like...
like falling on a meteor, fighting a bear just to land safely on the ocean on your own private island with a new best friend.
It's like when you're in that hotel in Las Vegas and the gondola singer is rowing you around the canals, and for that beautiful moment, you forget you're not actually in Venice.
It's like running into a hurricane, but then you find yourself in the eye of the storm, and you're actually like a really pretty field, and like the wind is lightly blowing, and there's like leaves and the smell of fall.
Or it's like... but, you know, I had something and it wasn't that, and you really threw me off my groove.
It's like hearing your friend come up with his own idea, but then realizing that your idea is so much better, you have to say it right now!
Coca-Cola Spiced, it's bursting with refreshing notes from raspberry and spice flavors. It's an uplifting taste experience unlike any other. Try all new Coca-Cola Spiced and Coca-Cola Spice Zero Sugar today and find out. Copyright 2024, The Coca-Cola Company.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride.
Do you guys ever work on your cars?
If I had one!
It's very satisfying. If you had a cool car, like mine, you could use eBay Motors.
Do you think that I could get the individual parts and then assemble my own car?
Yeah, they do have over 122 million parts. Plus, with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they're guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time.
Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. That's EBAYMOTORS.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Mint Mobile. No more overpriced phone plans necessary. Big monthly bills, unexpected overages, expensive, and outdated.
Or you could stay outdated. Vintage is in.
My old phone has the perfect patina of Cheetos dust and teenage stank.
Okay, I have a better option. Mint Mobile, for a limited time, they have wireless plans that include unlimited talk, text, and data for just $15 a month. Upgrade your plan today at Mint Mobile. For limited time, wireless plans from Mint Mobile are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. That's unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer, go to mintmobile.com/distractible. That's mintmobile.com/distractible. mintmobile.com/distractible.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Good evening, gentle listener, and welcome to Distractable, a WTF production with your hosts, Blushing Bob, Meritorious Mark, and Wordy Wade. This week, the chatty chums choose to chuck chunky childish chocolate chasers onto the most redoubtable of confectionery carriers. Try saying that fast. Yes, it's time for Beware the Candy Uncle. Please prepare thy vomitorium and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to Distractable, the podcast where we talk about a bunch of nonsense and act like we're smarter than we really are. My name is Mark and I am your host, joined by Bob.
Hello.
And Wade.
Hi.
Hi guys, how are you doing?
We're good.
Good.
We're good.
Yeah.
Man, these goods seem forced.
Well, they are.
What? I'm great. Stuff is going just so well for me over here. What do you, why would you question that?
I don't know, something about the tone of your voice, but I'll believe you. Wade, why are you not good?
Well, the guy you sent over to force me to say I'm good. Other than that, I was fine before.
Okay, all right. So you're saying that my gift was unnecessary?
Yeah. Your gift is eating all of our food.
I sent you the gift of happiness.
Yeah.
The guy that tells you to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it working? I could send more guys.
No, it's unnecessary.
They've got a happy cattle prod package that I could send over. That might be nice.
Nope.
I'll do it. Don't even say anything.
Nope.
No.
Nope,
forget
nope.
I said it. It'll be a surprise.
Oh, fuck.
Did you see, Mark, they're running a special right now on the guy who makes you happy by smashing in all the windows in your car with a crowbar until you're happy.
Wow, that sounds like good service. I'll get that for you too, Wade. Whenever you get a new car, that guy is gonna show up.
Such a value.
So if I don't get a new car,
no balls, you won't.
Yeah, you won't.
Well, I've gone almost a full year now without one.
Does your new door have windows in it?
Oh, it does.
Great. That's great. That's great.
I know that because I came and looked at it. I didn't see you or anything. I just looked at your house.
This is a very comfortable start to this episode.
We're just worried about you, man.
Yeah, we're worried. I'll send a worry guy over to check in on you.
Oh,
he's got the worry pepper spray, you know. It'll really make your troubles go away. You won't worry about whatever you were worrying about a moment ago. Trust me.
He is pretty big, though, so no twin beds, okay? Give him a nice, comfortable place.
Yeah.
I think we're gonna move.
They'll find you. Anyway, I have an interesting topic of discussion today that kind of relates to something that we discussed on a previous episode. I had a thought. Oh, by the way, everyone listening, I'm the judge. They contribute and I assign points. That's how this podcast works.
They know how it works.
Hopefully they know how it works. I hate to think if this is people's first introduction to this podcast, but it may be.
I know this happens with things, you know, you get used to it, it becomes regular. But I remember the first episodes, we were like, welcome to Distractible. This is a podcast.
Yeah.
And now we're just like, just tell the story. Yeah, just, come on. Let's go.
All right, fine. I will. I had a thought the other night. It was just, you know, I have these thoughts on occasion. I was wondering what the best method would be to prevent a kid from eating too much candy, right?
Ooh.
You ever think about this? Kids, they like candy.
They do.
They can't stop eating it. So what if you constructed a reality that would plant a formative memory in their mind? This is just some random kid, you know, it doesn't really matter. But it would plant a formative memory in their mind that would make it so they're kind of inceptioned to never want to eat candy again, right?
Okay,
you following?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I thought, you tell a kid that he can have one piece of candy a day, and if he has any more than that, something bad will happen. You don't say what it is. You just tell him that something bad will happen, right? So, of course, that's not enough to put fear into the child. You have to go a step further. So what you'll do is you'll, you know, give a piece of candy every day, whatever, and then you'll create a situation where there is an excess of candy available to them. You know, if that original idea wasn't enough, you would create a situation where they would be tempted to have more candy. I kind of thought of this because of that experiment with the marshmallow, right?
Yeah.
So it's like you get two later, but, you know, more punishing. So you create a situation where it's like a piece of chocolate, and if they have two pieces of chocolate in a day or more than
one, kill their favorite family member.
Pretty much, but not quite.
Oh.
More subtle, right?
Oh.
So you create a situation where they're tempted to have more chocolate, and you watch them, and you have like a secret camera, so you know exactly when they did. And as soon as they do, the next time you see them, you look at them and go like, oh my God, what's wrong with you? At this point, you've removed all the mirrors from the house, because that way they can't see themselves.
Obviously.
You like suddenly just like stop in your tracks, you're like, oh my God, what's wrong with your face? And then like they would start panicking, be like, what's wrong with my face? And then you're like, oh my God, did you have another piece of chocolate? Did you have another piece? And then as they're stammering there, you don't even give them a chance. You drag them up and like, you gotta lay down now. You gotta lay down quick. And then you get your friend who you assigned to pretend to be a doctor, and you go to the other room before you get them to come over. You go to the other room, you call your friend and you tell him like, yeah, oh, you gotta come quick. Yeah, two pieces of chocolate, maybe more, I don't know. And then you start real panic. You tell them to not move from wherever they are. If they're in a bed, on the couch, you have them lay down. Your friend comes in, wheels all this big beeping, booping, undulating medical equipment, and then you attach to the child, and then you have a whole team surrounding them, running a bunch of tests, like poking them with a stick, you know, like pretend syringes, all these fake hookups and stuff like that. And then you tell them that if they don't make it, like you love them or something, I don't know whose kid this is, but you create this entire constructed.
You're doing this to someone else's kid?
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, any kid, whatever. If you're
hired. That
was
the premise. He started with that. It doesn't have to be your kid.
Exactly. It doesn't have
to be. All right. Well, I feel like there might be more lawsuits in that case, but maybe not.
There's not going to be any lawsuits, okay? The statute of limitations will pass by the time they realize what actually happened. So you get all this stuff, and then you create this incredible drama where you start dropping the temperature in the house, but you have trained yourself by taking ice baths every day, and all the other people that are a part of this, you've been taking ice baths every day, so a little cold doesn't bother you. Mm-hmm. The child will feel very cold, and then, you know, you'll have your heart monitor that's a pre-programmed video to start going down and down, and like they'll get colder and colder, and then like at the last minute you'll pull out like the biggest, meanest syringe of all, and it's like attached to like a cattle prod, so that when you poke them with it, it'll hurt, and then they'll think that like that'll be the moment that everything stabilizes, you know. Maybe you'll even like lower the oxygen in the room so that you've done high altitude training so that you can endure lower oxygen environments, but the child will start to get a little woozy, and then as soon as you do it, you bring the temperature back up, you bring the oxygen back up, and then all the beep boops start calming down, because there was like red alarms going off too. There was like bwah, bwah, like super red alarms and strobe lights will be hitting and then everything will calm down. And then you'll tell a child, like, that was so close. Why did you eat that piece of chocolate? I told you something bad would happen. You can have one, but not more than one. And then for the rest of their life, they will never eat another piece of chocolate, or at least not more than one. And so...
That's great. How many points do Bob and I get for that?
The reason I say this is because I kind of want to do a Lies from Our Parents part two, but to take it to another level. I want to hear your constructed realities of how you would instill the fear of God into a child for anything. Like, you know, eating a piece of chocolate, you know, not doing their homework, you know, like not doing their chores, whatever, something like that. I want to hear how you guys... Would, is discipline the right word?
Traumatize?
And no, I don't think so. I think educate. Lesson. Formative memories. This is building.
Redesign.
For legal reasons, we would never do this. For anecdotal reasons, I'm excited for this.
Cognitively differ.
Yeah.
Cognitive behavioral science, that's a big thing.
I think this is like, you know, a level of inception. You're creating like the most base level of memory. You're accessing their subconscious. You're rooting through their fear of this idea of they will remember this for the rest of their lives. That's the idea. But it's all harmless. There's no harm.
Sure.
I want to point that out.
Sure.
There's no harm here.
I think it's important to probably qualify that as physical harm. There's no physical harm. All right, before we jump into crafting our own alternate reality, a couple things really stood out.
Uh-huh.
One, I love the idea of a giant syringe that also has a cattle prod on the end of it. Like, doctor, are you sure this is the only way? Listen, electrojection is what we have to do for this disease.
No, it's not obvious. It's, you can't harm the kid. That's not the idea here.
Inject Locrucian.
No, it's not a real syringe. It's uh-huh. a fake. The electricity uh-huh. is to make it seem like something happened. You know, I would never.
The electricity activates the vaccine as we inject it into your body. It makes the muscle spasm, which hypercirculates the important life-saving vaccine.
Listen, no. Non-harming. We're not trying to harm the child. Uh-huh, you know, uh-huh, it's uh-huh. all harmless. Physically harmless.
Sure. I also, the other thing that stood out to me is I feel like you went in a different direction, but I feel like you described such a great business opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And this may be seen as like a little, like a prelude to mine. My idea I'm crafting is unrelated to this. This is like an everyman's way to emotionally manipulate your kid into not eating too much candy.
Uh-huh.
It's a company called Candy Uncle.
Go on.
The entire service is based around the idea that you tell a kid if you eat more than one piece of candy, something bad will happen. Keep it vague. The thing that's bad that happens, though, is turns out Uncle Jeremiah, who just randomly appeared shortly after the birth of whatever kid.
Right.
Uncle Jeremiah's around a lot, stays over a lot. When you create the situation where you tempt the kid into eating too many candies, Uncle Jeremiah mysteriously dies.
Oh.
That's the bad thing. You just rent Uncle Jeremiah from Candy Uncle. He hangs around a little. They can make the rounds, right? Uncles aren't always there.
Yeah.
A candy uncle can serve upwards of 8 to 10 families all at the same time. As long mm-hmm. as they're in the same region.
Yeah.
Candy uncles just drive from house to house, spend a little time, bring some, you know, small gifts, trinkets, toys, whatever, kid stuff.
Yeah.
And then at the appropriate time, you just make sure you schedule it with your candy uncle.
Uh-huh.
They're around. The kid eats the extra pieces of candy, and Uncle Jeremiah bites it. Lesson learned, simple, clean, great business model.
You know, actually, that's so fantastic because number one, it's just genius. And number two, they don't know that things are directly correlated one to the other, but they'll assume it is, you know, because they've always heard that something bad will happen if they eat too much candy. And then Uncle Candy Uncle dies suddenly and tragically and violently,
yeah.
I hope.
No, yeah, it's gross. It's very graphic. It's a lot like what you described, right? But you come upon the kid and you're like, wait.
Yeah.
Did you eat an extra piece? Did you eat an extra piece of candy? And they're like, oh, and you're like, come with me. And you bring them into the room, the staged room with the candy uncle. There's blood, vomiting things, like they're super graphic. super moist death.
Oh, yeah. I was assuming that it was like, you know, they ate the piece of candy. You're like, oh, how could you? I hope nothing bad happens. And then the next day they get a call. What? No. To shreds, you say. You know, just like, and then it's a closed casket funeral. Very sad. You
it
know?
Costs more to have a fully dressed Candy Uncle Death live
of
in
course.
House.
Yeah, that's more certain.
But that's the different levels of service that you can offer, right? You
yeah.
can have
this is great.
A distant Candy Uncle, the kid gets to know them, establish the connection, and then dies over the phone. You can have dies in front of them. You can have. As the kid swallows the piece of candy, violent, traumatic death.
Uh-huh.
Like the kid is swallowing the candy. Uncle walks into the room. Boom! Chandelier. Direct correlation. Like as the chocolate is melting and running down their throat, they're swallowed. The kid is like, God, that's good.
Yeah.
Dead uncle. That's a strong message, but that's harder to organize. It costs a bit more.
Yeah. Okay, so just to like play devil's advocate here, you know, what if this creates like a Dexter situation where the vision of the uncle's death creates this sense and need to murder people? Because that's how it works, you know? Like, you've seen Dexter, have you?
Sure. Yeah, no, I know people like him.
Born in blood, you know?
That happens all the time, people.
It's the only way.
Well, if you're suspicious of that, that's what orphanages are for. You just take the kid there.
That's true. You just gotta try again. Probably a defective kid.
You can be the orphanage. I want a do-over. Can I exchange?
You accidentally burn some biscuits. What do? You make another tin of biscuits.
That's actually the charitable arm of Candy Uncle. They understand that this can happen. There's a whole network of Candy Uncle orphanages filled with little murderers. So traumatized by the dramatic death of their Candy Uncle that they've turned into absolute sociopaths.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like institutions where they lock up all these ruined humans.
And it's just like, instead of Candy Uncle, there's a bunch of like Dexter's dads, you know, but it's like a ghost, because in the show he's a ghost, right? So you got a hologram of the same guy that's trying to coach them to good. But then, you know, you try to get them only kill bad people, right? But you've got a kill switch. If they go wrong, you just have Candy Uncle show back up again, you know, and then his whole world gets turned upside down and they don't know how to deal, you know.
Candy Uncle shows up and he's like, I thought we only killed the good ones. What are you doing? And he coaches him one-on-one, make sure he's getting the right people.
We only kill the good ones, or we only kill the bad ones?
I meant the bad ones.
Okay.
No, I said the wrong part.
We only kill the good ones.
Yeah. See, you don't need a hologram because you just have Candy Uncle be the vision. You'll like have Candy Uncle stand outside their window at the orphanage and just look in and shake their head left and right, and then just like step backwards into the darkness. You know, no matter how much they all scream, you know, did you see Candy Uncle? I did. What? No. It's perfect. It's the perfect plan.
Anyway, that's not my official submission to your prompt. As you were saying,
wasn't.
This is just a business idea. I have these ideas. I'm a businessman.
Oh, I thought that was...
I could hear, as you were talking, that business opportunity.
I hereby submit that as my idea, then?
Whoa. That's not an alternate reality.
Hey, you don't want it. I'll take it.
That's just a top-notch, solid, investable business idea.
And did you patent it, though?
Patent pending.
I did.
Isn't the patent always pending? Can't you just say that about anything? Like, I can just invent something and someone comes in like, hey, that is a guy. How'd you make that? I'm going to figure that. And like, no, patent pending. The patent is pending. You can't do it because the patent, it'll be here any day. It's pending. And when it gets here, if you've made it, I don't even know what you sue people, I guess.
I guess, yeah. No, it's my idea to make Candy Uncle be murdered in front of these children. It's my idea.
It's a totally different... Candy Grandpa is a totally different company. It's an unrelated business idea.
Candy Aunt, it's so different. There's no way you could assume that it wasn't assumed. Like, I want all of our listeners to rush the patent office right now and try to patent the idea of candy.
Candy Puppy and all spinoffs, including Candy Lizard, Candy Hamster, and Candy Parakeet, are unrelated to your original idea, sir.
Mm-hmm. In perpetuity throughout the universe, in the multiverse.
God, I hate that language. Jesus Christ. You ever read a contract where it was like, all right, and we're we're going to do, we want you to play our video game for, you know, make a video at least 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
And we will own the rights to it in perpetuity forever, anywhere in the entire universe, no matter what happens, it's ours. It's like, oh, fucking God.
Oh, my
Jeez.
God. Yeah. I mean,
that's a deep grab you guys are making.
It's always startling when they hand you a contract and they're like, ah, it's just standard. You know, it's just boilerplate. Whatever boilerplate means, it's boilerplate. And I'm like, what's a boilerplate? Like, I look at it, it's like the universe perpetuity. I'm like, is this my soul? Is my soul a boilerplate?
Yeah, just make this video. We own the rights to you, your channel, your family,
your likeness, your brand. Mm-hmm. We take 8% of any money you make from here on out. 8.5, I guess. I don't know.
In perpetuity.
And if you breach this contract, something bad will happen.
That's dude. Candy Uncle isn't just for kids.
No, not contract cousin.
You can candy uncle anyone.
You trying to quit smoking? You got Smokey Uncle. You got Uncle Smokey coming in.
Uncle Smokey.
All right, but that wasn't your official submission.
I had that thought. I just liked that idea. I thought that was worth talking about. But
still wonderful. 5 points. I'll give you 5 points for that.
This episode is brought to you by Mint Mobile. No more overpriced phone plans necessary. Big monthly bills, unexpected overages, expensive, and outdated.
Or you could stay outdated. Vintage is in.
My old phone has the perfect patina of Cheetos dust and teenage stank.
Okay, I have a better option. Mint Mobile, for a limited time, they have wireless plans that include unlimited talk, text, and data for just $15 a month. Upgrade your plan today at Mint Mobile. For limited time, wireless plans from Mint Mobile are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. That's unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer, go to mintmobile.com/distractible. That's mintmobile.com/distractible. mintmobile.com/distractible.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. Mint Mobile for details.
This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. Guys, I found another subscription. It's not even one. They keep coming.
What? That's crazy.
But that's okay, because I could use Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money can help you have full control over subscriptions, have a clear view of your expenses.
If there's anything in there that says, like, hey, please cancel this for me, don't press it.
I'm going to go press all of those buttons. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/distractible. That's rocketmoney.com/distractible. rocketmoney.com/distractible. You should get that, Mark. It's probably important.
Oh, no way.
This episode is brought to you by Coca-Cola. New Coca-Cola Spiced. It's not spicy, but it does have unexpected, extraordinary tastes. For some people, it's like...
like falling on a meteor, fighting a bear just to land safely on the ocean on your own private island with a new best friend.
It's like when you're in that hotel in Las Vegas and the gondola singer is rowing you around the canals, and for that beautiful moment you forget you're not actually in Venice.
It's like running into a hurricane, but then you find yourself in the eye of the storm and you're actually in like a really pretty field, and like the wind is lightly blowing and there's like leaves and the smell of fall.
Or it's like... but, you know, I had something and it wasn't that, and you really threw me off my groove.
It's like hearing your friend come up with his own idea, but then realizing that your idea is so much better, you have to say it right now!
Coca-Cola Spiced. It's bursting with refreshing notes from raspberry and spice flavors. It's an uplifting taste experience unlike any other. Try all new Coca-Cola Spiced and Coca-Cola Spice Zero Sugar today and find out. Copyright 2024, The Coca-Cola Company.
Yeah, give your real submission. I'll talk in the last 5 minutes of this episode about
no,
my
well, you, I was going to offer you the chance to go first. I know I
don't want it.
All right.
It's too early for you to start trying to lose. Or lose at the end, Wade.
All right. Well, it's going to be hard to top all of these ideas.
Yeah.
I've got 3 ideas that I've come up with.
Oh,
nice.
One, simple, cheap. You just do something to the candy. Your own kid's candy. You know you're supposed to check it at Halloween, make sure no one fucked with it?
Oh, my God.
Well,
oh my
God. You just, like, inject some laxative into their little M&M.
So M&M.
They steal a couple extra M&Ms. They're shitting their brains out the next few days. Easy.
All right. Well, this kind of approaches the idea of no physical harm, right?
I mean, listen.
Is shitting harmful?
Yeah. I've had the runs before. It's not pleasant, but I was fine. You make sure they hydrate, they're fine.
I'm okay. Cattle prods is the base level that I'll allow because it's temporary. It's over as soon as it's done, right?
Laxatives are temporary.
It'll last forever. That's not like a switch you can't turn off, is it? I've never actually taken... If you take a laxative, do you just shit forever? Is that what we're saying happens?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Maybe.
Because if that's what happens, I have a different opinion about this plant.
There's a thing with pine nuts that's kind of like that. Most people, almost everyone, Almost everyone who eats pine nuts, it's just like normal food, right? It's just a pine nut. It has a certain taste. But some people have a condition called pine mouth afterwards, which is an intense metallic taste that can last from a few days to up to 2 weeks. And for some people, it lasts for months after eating pine nuts. Why?
What's it do?
I don't know. I've never looked it up deeper. I'm sure that we could right now look it up a little deeper. But it's one of those things where it's like you'd think it would be temporary and yet it lasts forever.
What was this? Hey Siri, what is nut mouth? What was it? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's nut mouth.
Also known as pine nut syndrome.
Oh my God, the first result was pine mouth whenever I said nut mouth.
Nut
mouth. Hell yeah. Siri knew what I wanted.
Yeah, I'm going to Google nut mouth. Let's see what my search history brings up. Nut mouth. Pine mouth!
Just make sure you image resulted.
Images, going to images.
Of nut mouth.
Ooh, it's just a lot of mouths.
God.
I don't like it. This is gross.
I love this article. This sentence is, there's an unknown taste bud slayer roaming the streets. One that makes Jack the Ripper seem like a pretty nice dude.
Damn, who wrote this?
It's called Pine Mouth.
Wow.
Dude, when J. Jonah Jameson writes your health section articles, what the fuck? God.
A there's a menace in the streets.
Yes.
Pine nuts.
God, you know,
unmask yourself, demon.
I'd like to think that in every like small tiny blog website that does articles, there's just one writer that just goes ham on every article, like just cannot bust out the thesaurus for every single article and just like it's their magnum opus.
It's all the same tone too. Like it's like a food blog article. There's a new burger beckoning in the distance, summoning you to your inevitable doom.
Yeah.
It's so good you'll want to die after you eat it. I don't know. I'm not that person. I'm not that guy, so I don't know what they would write.
It's really one of those things where I've forgotten everything. Moving on. My brain emptied itself.
I learned a new word from this.
Yeah?
I learned a new word from nut mouth. It's apparently a type of dysgeusia.
Dysgeusia.
What is dysgeusia?
A dysgeusia is an order. Nope, that's not the word. It's a disorder that distorts your sense of taste.
All right,
everyone. Your distractible vocab word of the day is dysgeusia. You're welcome.
Disgoose me.
Who says we're not an educational program?
That's dysgeusia. Dysgeusia. I remember what I was going to say. It's like there's so much opportunity for people to make blogs that aren't the typical blogs. Like cooking blogs are always like you tell a story about how this recipe was important to you and whatever. Why isn't there a scary cooking blog? Why isn't there a threatening cooking blog? Why isn't there an ominous cooking blog? You know,
well,
there
probably is. You have to go to the dark web for it.
The dark web.
I feel like that would be pretty popular.
Yeah.
That sounds like the kind of thing that would really hit right now with people.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just like a cooking blog, but it's scary.
Yeah.
And that brings us to our first sponsor of the day, candyuncle.com/distractible, promo code dysgeusia.
I've heard of Candy Uncle.
Get 20% off your first Candy Uncle to teach your kid what the fuck they should be doing.
Not just for kids, Wade. Candy Uncle could be used for coworkers.
That's right.
Mm.
Distant relatives.
Mm.
Fast food Fred for their fast food needs.
That one neighbor who never fucking puts their trash cans away after trash day.
Mm. Ooh, trashy Ted.
Anyone who needs to learn a lesson. You know what, neighbor Ted? If you don't put your trash cans away, something bad is going to happen. Probably to your candy uncle.
Impeccable lawn, Larry.
Oh, I saw a dandelion in your grass. Better get rid of it.
Okay, Larry. I'll show him.
Yeah. All right, wait. You said you had
two more ideas.
Yeah, keep going.
Yeah,
keep
I'll
going.
Keep them. I'll keep them quick. Mm-hmm. So, laxative candy was the first one.
Yep.
And so this is kind of similar to the candy uncle, a little different. It's more of like the I'm not mad, just disappointed. It's Ooh. If you catch your kid eating that second piece of candy, it breaks your heart so bad that you leave and don't come back. Oh. One parent will leave and not come back, and then maybe they get a second chance. Oh, God. But it's like, I can't. I thought I raised you better, and you pack your bags while they're crying, begging, no, mommy, please don't go.
Yeah.
You get in the car, and you're like, I'm sorry, but you're no son of mine, and then you drive off.
Yeah.
It's that meme where the kid is like waving at the camera, and he slowly just fades away into nothingness and disappears, yeah. But it's about the candy.
Yeah, or you have a situation where it's not so blunt. You have all your fishing gear on the next morning. It was like, I was going to surprise you with a fishing trip, but I guess I'll go myself since you don't want to follow the rules. We'll talk when I get back. You know, and you got your fishing hat with all the lures on and a big-ass fishing rod and a tackle box, and you go out and you just never come back. For as long as necessary for the child to learn the lesson. You observe from the shadows. You had camouflage fishing gear so you can watch from the woods. You know, it was actually your camping gear. You're camping outside. Then you just wait a few weeks. And when the time is right, you come back. But if they just keep eating candy while you're away, you just never come back. I like it.
Are they by themselves? Or do they have someone else helping them eat? Or are they just spending
are
for themselves?
Are you married? I don't know. Is it your kid? I don't know the situation. This is for any child.
That's fair. That's fair. If you have a mom, good for you. You might have a chance. If not, fend for yourself, you little shit.
I have very destructive impulses. I don't know. I thought where you're going, Marcus, you were like, I'll just go on the fishing trip by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a whole fake produced newscast about how this fishing boat sunk and there were no survivors yes. and all this stuff.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And then the kid will be like, oh, I'm glad I didn't go. I would have died too.
You actually have it on the TV ready to go. And as soon as the door closes, it automatically plays on the TV at full volume. Like, local man, someone's dad, I guess. I don't know. Someone's friend?
No, fully cartoon, like local dad, Jimmy's dad, went on a fishing trip by himself because his son refused to follow the candy rules.
That's so funny.
You got one more, Wade?
Last idea, and I'll turn it over.
Yeah.
So kids care about Christmas and presents and stuff, right? And then there's the whole like naughty or nice list for Santa.
Sure.
So your kid eats that other piece of candy, you have a fake letter ready to go, you're like, oh, I got a letter from Santa. No, this can't be. You made the naughty list. We have to pack your bags right now. You gotta go. And then you send them to Santa's workshop, which is definitely not a sweatshop for kids, but you know, you just kind of put them to work in Santa's shop, making fucking little sleds and bullshit, some fake wheels, make them whittle some wood, do, I don't know, CAD work. What did that CAD stand for? Crafting and dumb or something.
Cardboard assisted design, I think. Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. That hurt my brain, Bob. That hurt. That hurt a lot. Hurt more than you know.
Candy am dumb. There you go, CAD. Candy am dumb. You gotta go to your candy am dumb shop and do your Santa shop. It's like a candy uncle. You have your, like, you know, candy Santa and the other, like, kids who have to work there. But they're all, like, paid actors and shit, but not you. Mm-hmm. No, you're put to fucking work for being the little shit you are. Yeah.
Or kids know that they'll get coal for Christmas if they're bad, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so when they do the thing that is bad at any point in the year, you never call them out about it. You just keep reminding them that if they're bad, they get coal for Christmas. And then on Christmas morning, when they're getting out of bed all cheery-eyed and ready for presents, they rush out of their room downstairs, and every present box is full of coal. But not only that, in the kitchen is a life-size coal statue of their mom cooking their Christmas breakfast, and you can smell the pancakes burning on the stove because you left it on. Just like, and as soon as he touches the statue, it'll crumble to pieces in front of his eyes. And also, you've educated the child what coal is, so they know what coal is and they're aware of it and can identify it immediately. And
you
then,
took a family vacation to the coal mine.
Exactly. They run upstairs going, dad, or other person. And then they open the door and you're like in bed is a full life-size coal, like assembly of you with glasses on the face part. And as soon as they touch it, it all crumbles down. And then you'll have someone playing Santa standing behind him in the doorway as he turns around sobbing and heaving hopefully at this point. And he just shakes his head, opens a big book that says naughty list on the front end, does a big dramatic with his feather pen, a check in there, just check, and then he walks away. That's another option.
Hope that second M&M was worth it, Timmy.
I hate doing this.
Anyway, good. I award 1 point for each of those ideas.
That's three.
Way to go, bud. You got there.
Thank you.
He created an opportunity for you to learn, and you took it.
It's all about learning. This is what it is. It's not like anything else. We didn't think of the right word. It's learning. You're educating. You're teaching.
Educating.
Well, that's because you sent Mathematical Matthew to me to help me learn.
Yep.
God. Is that the best math tutor that's ever lived? Mathematical Matthew is here to help you to solve all your algebra problems.
Good, man. Good. All right.
What if a parrot was just obsessed with that? Like, I don't know, obsessed with alliteration or something. It was like, this is Sciencey Susan. She's going to be your science tutor. This is Mathematical Matthew. This is Eric the English nerd. He calls himself that. It's okay.
This is History... Hannah.
History Hank, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
Oh.
Because history is told by men.
This is a bold episode.
Sorry, I don't know where that came from. That's fucked up.
Well, this will be the last episode of Distractible. I hope you all enjoyed listening while we had a platform.
Yeah, we had a good run, everybody. Oddly enough, the traumatizing children did not do us in. That one statement did. We hereby apologize and will gracefully bow out.
No, listen, it was a joke. If you explain it, it's not funny, but everyone knows it was a joke, okay?
So was our overreaction. It was all part of the bit.
There will be a poll on the Distractible subreddit whether you accept Bob's apology.
Wait, did you guys see on the subreddit, did you see there's a poll going on right now? It's at the top of the subreddit. Did you see it? See what it's about?
What is it?
Who is the funniest member of the podcast?
I gotta go and vote for Bob real quick.
I have not checked in the last day or two or whatever, but the rankings are, obviously, I'm number one.
Of course.
Yeah.
A close second. Last I looked, literally by like 10 votes or something, like barely even in second place. Who's your guess? Who do you guys think?
Baltimore. Is he on there? Is he on the list?
I'm gonna go with Will.
Will.
Mark is actually right. It's Baltimore.
I mean, just like every intro is gold, so can't fault that.
That's fine. I like being underappreciated for my comedic genius.
And then it's you other guys. I don't even know who's...
Oh, thanks.
So you're both tied for last.
All right, cool. That's great.
But like the votes are super close. Like Baltimore's going to pass me, I think.
Yeah.
Because everyone loves him.
Of course. He's incredible. For those that don't know, and there are some people that don't know, the narrator at the beginning of these episodes is known on YouTube and Twitter as Baltimore. It's hard to link things on like podcast sites, but go Google Baltimore. He does great. If you like Warhammer 40K, he does great in-depth lore videos, all in his voice. If you want more of that voice, go watch those videos. Like, and he's just been such an incredible help. True appreciation for that man.
The intros are pretty gold.
They are pretty gold. All right, now I'm going to turn it back over to Bob, because you said before that that was just an off-the-cuff thought, and this is your real idea for this process.
Well, so it's like you said, Mark, it's education, right? It's educational. I don't want this to be a negative experience. I don't want the kid to actually feel like they've lost anything.
Of course.
So my idea, and it's not dissimilar to Wade's, like I have to give credit for Wade. I think he captured a lot of the important parts of what I'm about to
do. Laxative candy. Yeah.
My idea focuses around getting in contact with a movie and graphical effects studio. And maybe these are packages. Maybe these are sold on some sort of parents-only marketplace where kids don't get to know that they exist. But you basically, you have a bunch of different, like War of the Worlds style apocalyptic and or catastrophic event news stories. And you just have them ready to go, right? And you create, it's not an overt thing where you're like, you killed these people. You did. It's more like you set up the rules, one piece of candy, no more, more than one, something bad happens. And then you create this association of like, the first time you do it on purpose, the first time you give them their piece of candy and they eat it and you're like, oh, look like you really enjoyed that. Like, do you want to, I know you're not supposed to, but do you want a second one? You know, you stress it. You're like, this breaks the rules. But like, I love you so much. I want you to have a good time. And of course the kid is going to be like, yeah, more candy. All right. And as they're like, you hand them the candy, as they're like unwrapping it, starting to starting to enjoy the second piece of candy. Mm. You have your phone out, right? You're watching social media, whatever. And you pull up a tweet from CMM, an official news source.
Uh-huh.
It's a video that is detailing some catastrophic event. A freak, unexplainable tsunami has sprung up in the Pacific Ocean, or a sinkhole has opened in the heart of, Nice. In France, somewhere where it's like you have to explain to your kid, like, no, this isn't by us. This is in Europe. It's like across the. But like, so weird. Like, right as you were eating that candy, right as you broke that rule, this thing happened. Hmm. And you have a whole litany of these, right? Maybe it's celebrity deaths. Maybe Steve from Blue's Clues dies in one of them. That'd be pretty tragic for a lot of people.
Hmm.
I think that'd be a strong message.
Yeah.
And you just create this association where it's like every time your child gets the second piece of candy, you've got one of these videos queued up. It's on Twitter. It's on TikTok. Some of them are like handheld shaky cam first person things on TikTok. Or things like that.
Uh-huh.
So this is not like turning the kid into a sociopath, ruining their life. It creates like the superstition, right?
Uh-huh.
It creates this in the back of their mind, this fear of like, I'm not doing these things. They're probably not even related to me. They're happening all across the world, far, far away. But somehow, every time I break the candy rule, some crazy shit happens.
Yeah.
What's the deal with that? And so it just, instead of brute force traumatizing them into it, you're teaching, right?
Uh-huh.
You're creating this very healthy superstition that somehow this child's eating habits dictate world events and are tied in some way to astronomically unpredictable catastrophes and things. Super effective, subtle, easy to do. All you need is your phone or a tablet or TV, whatever you play it on, whatever screen you want.
Mm.
And nothing falls directly on the kid, but they sort of know, right?
Yeah.
They make the connection.
I feel like that's a great idea because it really builds a psychological effect over a long period of time. It really compounds it, but I don't think it leverages technology enough. What if you created like some custom Alexa like voicing or whatever smart speaker sponsors this podcast? You had like a smart speaker, right? With like an AI that talks. And then at night, this AI would like whisper things to the child, like just like suddenly come on in the middle of the night and blast one of those stories that you were talking about, how like, bah, like in the middle of the night, and really like associate that like these weird things around them were just reminding them of all the things that were going on in the world, so that if they're laying awake at night in bed and wondering like, there's no way that I could have done it. 15 people died in Guatemala, blah, blah, blah. Like also, and then you have a follow-up story immediately after about like how candy consumption is increasing throughout the world. And that's
supplemental stories. I like that. It's scientists have concluded that candy consumption is up, that if a person eats more than one piece of candy, scientists have concluded that that's bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
keep it
exactly.
Vague and keep it pseudosciencey.
Oh yeah.
So because they're gonna Google it, right?
How old are these kids watching this stuff? Because like, is it gonna stick if they're young enough? Maybe we should like infect their cartoons.
Exactly.
Well, it's a progression.
Yeah.
When they're younger, you gotta hit what they care about, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, like that. I know my niece really liked Sophie the Giraffe. What if like one episode you tune in and Sophie's just laying there dead with a fucking Crunch Bar next to her or something, you know?
Exactly. But you insert like one frame of it.
Ooh.
In the cartoon. So like you download the episode beforehand and you hack into your local TV station and you switch the tapes out before it goes up for broadcast. So this will have like a global effect, but you know, that way when they go to school and they're like, did you see that thing last night when you were watching the cartoon? They'll be like, yeah, I did. I have no idea what that was. I thought I saw a frame of like the main character dead with a candy bar next to him and my name written on the wall in blood. Like, yeah, I saw that too. And that way it's not paranoia and they weren't crazy. They definitely saw it.
Yeah, no, it's real.
Oh,
it's not paranoia if it's real.
This episode of Rugrats has been canceled because Tommy ate too much candy and has passed away.
I mean, kids don't know either, right? You could have news stories about catastrophes occurring in the world of Bluey or Paw Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
Or I mean, Blue's Clues is still happening.
Yeah.
I already said that one, but they're our third guy on Blue's Clues.
Yeah.
And can I just say, I watched an episode recently. This guy is way better.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
He's a performer.
Oh, good.
He's fun to watch. He's killing it.
Yeah.
The intermediate guy was chill and nice and there's nothing wrong with him. Joe, I think his name was, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
The new guy, love him. Top notch.
That's great.
Great television.
Well, I've been avoiding Joe all these years. I'll have to go back and watch that. There's a new
one. Wait, I have to call out that the only cartoon that sprung to mind was Rugrats, a cartoon that has not been on the air since the early 90s.
Late 90s, early 2000s. Reruns.
I mean, I don't count Rugrats All Grown Up or anything like that. It's just like, you could have said SpongeBob at least, because I think that's still going on. But Rugrats.
What are the popular cartoons nowadays? Doug?
Doug? Oh my God.
Come on.
What about Rocko's Modern Life?
Real Monsters?
All right, Rugrats premiered in 91, and the last new episode was in 94. But it was on reruns for a long time. I watched Rugrats as a kid in the late 90s, early
2000s. I still watch them. They're still on. They're still new,
they're
right?
Still on. You have one tape that's been looping on your TV down in the basement. Hey, my favorite show!
Oh my God, have I been candy uncled?
I don't know. Is anything horrific happening to your Rugrats shows? Anyone die or get horribly sick?
That's why I can't watch Hey Arnold anymore.
Oh, that's a good show.
Aw.
Well, your traumatic things that are still ongoing in your life aside, now that we've covered that topic, I think these are all fantastic ideas and really explore the depths of how much we could manipulate a child. But I think we haven't found the absolute perfect scenario that guarantees.
What's missing? What are you looking for? So how do we workshop this?
All of these elements, we have these like various experiences that are really going to impact memory into their heads. We even have follow-up stuff. We have subtlety and stuff. But there's no guarantees of how to really affect a child. So I want to explore a little deeper. What if...
Vin Diesel.
Go on.
That's 90% of the idea. Vin Diesel stops making Fast and Furious movies.
It's about family. Duh.
Vin Diesel is paid by the government or by a nonprofit organization to show up anytime a kid eats an extra piece of candy, and he shows up and bashes down the door and is like, "What did you do?
God, you guys...
You're gonna hurt your family!"
You guys really got a finger on the pulse of what kids care about these days. You guys
kids
really...
love Vin Diesel. They wouldn't want to be scolded by the D's. They wouldn't want D's nuts to show up and tell him what's what.
You know, I can't prove that wouldn't be the case, that they wouldn't want
kids
that.
Love Jay Leno, right? Get Jay Leno.
Jay Leno pulls up in some obscure, crazy looking ass sports car and is like, "Hey, what'd you get an extra piece of candy? What are you doing?" Yeah. It's me, Jay Leno.
Did I ever tell you about the time that Jay Leno drove by me like on some random ass street in the middle of Burbank?
No.
Did you know it was him because his car looked like a spaceship motorcycle?
No, like I really didn't know who it was until he waved at me. And it was one of those things where it was just like this really old car that was going like 10 miles an hour. I was driving down this road. I think I was waiting for an Uber, and it's just so slow, and it's like the slowest pass ever. And you know, when he gets up to me, he looks at me, he honks twice and waves, and I'm like, wave back, okay, hello, whoever you are. And then by the time he was gone, I was like, oh, was that Jay Leno?
I like the idea that he drives around thinking he's his own parade every day, so he just goes really slow and like waves
I mean,
at
like,
people. Like
that's what he does. Like I didn't even know that was a thing that he did. I thought it was just a really weird random encounter.
Does he do that?
Yeah.
No. He has Jay's Garage as a whole thing. He has one of the like world's largest car collections. He has all these obscure things.
Why did that part?
He might have been driving slow because he was driving like a steam powered oil engine. Like he literally has cars where it's like it's more complicated to drive than an airplane is to fly, and its top speed is 8 miles an hour. It was built in 1906 before cars were a concept. Like, he has all this crazy shit in his garage, and he makes videos where literally he just drives around like Burbank or wherever he lives and is like talking about the car, and that's the whole thing.
Because what do you do after you've been retired and you've made ungodly amounts of money from your hosting gig for however long he was
there? Drive.
Yeah.
You just drive your cars, man.
Pretty much.
I was really hoping that story would take a turn where he drove slowly up to you, honked twice, and then was like, "Are you Markiplier?" Oh my God. Like, whoa.
Will you sign my car?
Didn't see that coming.
Yeah, no, that was the detail I left out. That definitely happened, but I don't like to call attention to myself.
That's just embarrassing. I don't want
to
talk about that.
No way, man. Come on, guys.
guys.
Anyway, so back to the topic at hand. There's really got to be a way that we guarantee this. Exploiting current things, technology, mm-hmm. other than like TVs and uncles and whatever, it's got to be like, what do the kids care about these days that we can really turn upside down? You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Because mm-hmm. it's not just candy. Like, kid can live without candy. And it's like the important lessons in life are beyond just not eating candy. How do we get to the root of it all? How do we get to the core? Because the idea, hopefully, is making this child, whoever's child it is, as good of a human being as possible. Because that's a responsibility that we all have. It takes a village to raise a kid.
Yep.
And what is the planet but a big village?
Yep.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
So you're questing, you're endeavoring from your initial question, you're hoping to make the kids in the world, kids of the world, the best possible people.
This is all for the betterment of humanity.
Do all kids have like a comfort toy of some kind? Like, I know when I was young, I had like this blanket when I was really little, and I had like a couple of stuffed animals that I always took around with me everywhere.
Rocky the raccoon.
Do all kids have that?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yes. Rocky the raccoon.
Because we could totally kill off their favorite, you know, toy.
I don't know how's that going to make them better? That's a dark direction.
I wasn't worried about that. I was more worried about trauma infliction than I was curing.
Okay. Wow.
Think inspirational, Wade. Aspirational, inspirational.
All these ideas have been inspirational and educational and for the betterment of the child. No one can argue that. Mm-hmm. No one can argue that. You're sick.
Oh, yeah.
You're a sick man.
Oh, God, yeah.
No, you know what we need to do? I know how we reach these kids.
Mm.
The responsible, positive influence that we are, we band together with other positive, responsible, positive people.
Uh-huh.
I said positive too many times, but you know what I'm going for.
No, I get you.
We create
a war and we send them to it and make them fight.
Corporate TikTok account.
Ah.
I was close.
And we put all of our time and energy and cognitive faculties and resources we have, we pour it into creating TikTok dance trends that have positive messaging associated with them. There's like a dance where there's a lot of scooping and reaching down, and you're picking up litter off the sidewalk, litter off the sidewalk, sweeping out the gutter, litter off the sidewalk. It's a whole thing. It's a dance. We got to pick the right song. I'm not the expert on this. We're going to need to bring in some people to really dial this in, you know, right? There's another one with a lot of standing up straight, arms out, opening and closing, hugging stranger. You get a hug. It's a whole, the messaging, we need experts for this, but you see where I'm going, right?
Yeah, but I don't know about the message of like, you should hug strangers and this should be a dance trend.
No, hug everyone, anyone.
And you know, all of this is like, where's the scare factor? We still gotta scare them.
I got
we
it.
We still gotta like,
I've got an idea. So it's important for kids to understand personal responsibility, things that are good for them, making decisions that are good for them, right?
Uh-huh.
And also decisions that are good and make a good impact on the community around them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We want kids to be able to eventually leave the nest whenever they get old enough, become adults. We want them to be able to survive in the real world. So we need to get survival skills, personable accountability and responsibility, and caring about community, right?
Uh-huh.
So we create a Lord of the Flies scenario where we put these kids on an island and we have candy like strategically placed all over. And these kids get a delivery of like food and stuff every single day as long as no candy is eaten. But we like plant people that go around like, hey, it's okay, you can eat this candy bar. And we give them all the temptation in the world to take this candy. If any of them take it, one, they're letting each other down and they're going to find out which kid caused them not to get dinner tonight. Two... go ahead. No, go ahead.
What no, I was going to say, just like instead of a person going around, you have a snake, an animatronic snake that you have slither around and like whisper like temptations into their ear. I just wanted to throw that out there.
It could be a snake, but some kids are like afraid of snakes and stuff. We want this to be as tempting as possible. So honestly, maybe what do kids like? SpongeBob.
SpongeBob walking around the island. I think that might be more terrifying than a snake.
What size? How tall is SpongeBob in? Because in the show, he's small. He's SpongeBob.
No, he can't be that big. He's got to be like close to their size, honestly. Maybe a little bit taller, but not too much.
Okay.
Can he be 20 feet tall, SpongeBob, telling him they can eat the candy on the island?
It's hard for him to sneak around, but you know, we can make
it
work.
No, it's an island. He's a sponge. He goes in the ocean, then he rises from the deep and shouts temptations.
He comes out of the ocean like Godzilla.
Kids walking around looking for the daily delivery and just, God SpongeBob.
The ocean starts roiling and it's like, SpongeBob. And he's just like, you know, Godzilla SpongeBob.
Right,
sound.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Are you ready, kid?
Aye, aye, Captain.
Mm, yeah.
I can't hear you. Aye, aye.
"Hi, Captain!" And then just SpongeBob emerges.
My God, yeah. I'm just envisioning Michael Bay's SpongeBob now. It's like the trailer to it. It's blackness, and then you just hear like, "Chum chum." Are you ready, kids? Screech in the distance, a flash of like a SpongeBobby monster shot.
Yeah.
Chum chum. I can't hear you. And then.
Out of the ocean, yeah. No, warships are being pushed out of the way, you know, like, you know, you got aircraft carriers. And it lands on the camera.
Yeah, the blockade to keep these kids on the island.
Oh, the classic action sound.
Yeah, exactly. And then you get a shot from space of the sponge. The name of the movie would be The Sponge, you know? Like, it's wading through the water, like, and then cuts to black. You see, like, the date it's going to come out. You hear, I can't do SpongeBob, whatever.
No, that was perfect. I feel like SpongeBob's here with us.
Hey, listen, I didn't do it because I knew I couldn't. Mark tried. That's bold.
Thank
That's
you.
Brave right there. Thank you. That's
thank
very
you,
brave.
Thank you. I will deduct my own points. Thank you.
No, but I like your idea, Wade. I think what we should do, we should build an enormous, elaborate maze filled with murderous contraptions and like robots that patrol. And in the center of the maze, we create a society of just children. And we give them supplies, but they have no guidance. They have to learn how to live together. They have to organize themselves. They have to take care of each other. They have to learn community until they get to the point where they're such a strong unit that they're able to escape from the maze. And any children that escape the maze are then welcomed into regular society as fully formed, totally fine adults.
Right.
Positive members of society.
Or competition among all the kids. We've got to fight to the death and only the winner gets to leave. But they get different advantages because they're not told not to eat candy, but they're given like a room full of like food and snacks and treats and candy and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And the less candy they eat, like better weaponry and armor and stuff they get. Maybe they come from different districts or something. We call it like the candy games.
Okay, yeah. Cool. This is great. I like the idea that I've forgotten everything I was going to say again. It's gone.
Can have someone who at the beginning of every competition is like, may the gobs be ever in your favor.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's for you, Wade.
Thank you.
What the fuck was I going to say? I had it and I lost it.
You got to write stuff down or something, man.
I don't know. I guess I should. The fuck was it? It was related to
if you didn't eat so much candy, you'd have a better memory.
Was it about the Maze Runner reference or the Mockingjay reference?
No, it was about like a colony of children and like, what the fuck? Whatever. Will, edit in something funny I said in a last episode and just slap it in here. And get Bob and Wade laughing at it.
Well, then not just oxygen, all of the nutrients that flow through the body flow through the butt. The blood.
Oh my God, Mark, that's the funniest thing you've said.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. All right, cool.
Oh, man.
Wow, I think you should make yourself the winner after that one.
Yeah. Oh, man. Tears in my eyes. That'll wrap it up for this episode. I think we explored a lot of really interesting ideas here.
Mm-hmm.
All the patents are pending for these ideas, even though this is probably our last episode ever because...
That's the title, The Last Episode Ever. not clickbait
at all. But thank you guys. I'm gonna tabulate the points right now, but I just want to stress before I get to the results that these were all incredible ideas and very revealing of our own inner workings and how we think and how we appreciate those around us and how we fit in as societal members of society. So Wade, you got the 3 points for each of those ones initially, but you also got 2 points beforehand for a witty response to Bob's initial idea, which I thought was very good.
Thank you.
So that means you have 2 + 3 + 1 + 1. That means you have 7 points.
Mathematical Matt says 7. That's good.
That's very good. Bob, with that super strong opening, just off the cuff idea for the speed at which it was delivered and the thoroughness at which it was explored, 5 points. I already said that I did.
What?
I said that a while ago.
I already had those. He literally said that
out
loud.
I said that a while ago.
I thought he forgot about him like he forgot his idea.
Not quite. Sorry.
Thank God.
I wrote those down. I wrote the points down. None of my other ideas.
The important stuff.
And then you add a follow-up. 1 point, 1 point, and then 2 points. So you, Bob.
Golf rules? Are we doing golf rules this episode?
Have 9 points to Wade's 7. And therefore, you are the winner. Congratulations.
Yes.
But I'm 2 under par. He's at par.
How is 9 possibly par?
It's a big hole.
That would make it easier. You don't even know golf rules.
It's a 10-foot par 9.
It's a big green. It's a real big one.
The rule is get it in the Grand Canyon. We start right on the edge of the Grand Canyon. It's par 9.
That's right, steroid users. You don't have a chance.
Well, anyway, Bob, congratulations. I will give you a moment to deliver your victory speech.
I am where I belong, on top once again.
I'm okay being on the bottom. It's where the boobs dangle in your face.
I think if we've learned anything today, it's that I'm a shrewd businessman, an excellent parent, and the best competitor between me and Wade during this episode.
Those are all facts.
Facts.
Those are all true. Wade, please tell some lies to even it out.
I'm great. I thought I had a really good episode here today, and I will try harder next time.
Oh, man. I didn't know we were playing two lies and a lie.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody at home, for listening. We disavow anything that we said in this episode. None of it was true. None of it is believable. And nothing that we say on this episode should ever be attempted. We are professional idiots. And remember to subscribe to this podcast to listen again for our idiocy to worm its way into your brain. Thank you. You can find Bob and Wade at the various social channels. You can find me wherever I am. But you can find all of us right here every Monday with Distractible. Thank you again, and podcast out.
Candy Uncle, it's the candy for you.
Yeah, Will, can you make a custom jingle for Candy Uncle and hire some people on Fiverr to sing it? And that'd be great. Thank you.
No more chocolate, no more sweets. Call Candy Uncle for behavioral needs.